Cool, I'm Mohit Tiwari from UC Berkeley, and I'd like to talk about our work on context-centric security. So as we've been listening, users want to control their privacy when they use untrusted applications. But this is a really tricky problem, mainly because the users are not security experts. They have a really hard time working with permissions, with security labels, and the key question is, what is the right abstraction for users to work with when they're trying to convey their privacy requirements? So this is what we want to address, and we believe that the context in which a user works might be a very useful input. So for the purposes of this talk, think of context as lightweight real-world events. For example, a hallway meeting. You know, when we meet a person, we create data of all different types. We write down notes, take videos, photos, and use all sorts of apps. But the very nice property of these contexts is that if you ask me, who do I want to share all this data with? I can point to a real person that I want to share this information with this person. We believe that having the users work at this level, where the users are aware of their contexts and specify exact contacts, like this is the right level of abstraction for the users to convey privacy policies. And the system takes care of all the low-level details. So if you compare this to what exists right now, you have what we term application-centric privacy, where you have applications such as, say, a camera or a photo sharing application. And depending on the context, it might be okay to give a photo to the app or maybe not. And once you go further, you have to think about how to give permissions to these applications using very low-level permissions, which are very hard for normal users to work with. And even if you get all of these right, the fact still remains that the app owns the data once you give it. So one option to, I mean, this is definitely not ideal from the user's point of view. So one option going forward could be to use a data-centric approach, where the user sets up security labels and policies and the apps have no say in them. So what you would do is you have all sorts of data, you classify that as sensitive or unclassified, or you make trusted untrusted labels, and then you have principles in your life, and then you make a security policy that is expressed as a lattice of these labels, and you know, you get all your guarantees. But to expect end users to work at this level is a stretch. This is a very useful mechanism, but we want the end users to be working at a different level of abstraction. So what can be an option? If you look at two users who are trying to get something done, they might have to organize, I want to organize a party with my co-author, and he has some other project that's going on. So this is what is going on in their real lives, in our real lives. Now, if you ask me to translate these into permissions on all these apps and low-level resources, it gets really hairy. On the other hand, what we would want to do is to just make this the explicit input that the user provides. I instantiate what we call a bubble. So a bubble is the digital counterpart of a real-life context. You create a bubble and you share it with a person. And once you start working, you realize that all your data clusters around this real-world context in a bubble that you can then specify your privacy policy as just using an access control on the bubbles. So once you use apps, they're there for functionality, and they cannot control who gets to see the results of your computation. So this is the top-level idea. Now, it would be interesting to see how this pans out, because the notion of context is slightly more involved than just every real-world event. So let's just try to go through a simple workflow. I want to organize a birthday party. I create a bubble for the birthday party, for the plans, and then I invite my co-author in it. So now, as we go forward, we decide on the dates, we decide on different plans using messages and so on, until the point where we get to deciding upon a caterer, say for logistics reasons. So in the usual flow, what I would do is I would use my mail application and email some caterer, for example. But here, we don't want to do that in this context that we have already created, because we don't want the caterer to be a part of all our plans for this birthday. So what we would do is we'd create another bubble, and then invite the caterer to the bubble, within which we can send messages and make all sorts of financial plans. So what you see here is that we have this high-level context in our minds that for the birthday planning, I wanted to work with my friend, but for the actual catering purpose, I wanted to work with someone else. You just have to make this explicit so that then you don't have to worry about all the applications that are working inside. So now if you go forward, when you have the actual party event, you can launch the party bubble and invite all the people who are invited to this party. So now when you are in this event, you know, all the data that you create is directly being sent into this bubble that is visible to everybody in real time, so that people can change their behavior or act accordingly because they know who is able to see who this bubble is shared between. Interestingly, in the same event, you also have the caterer hanging out in the background. So the caterer, you can observe, is not part of this bubble, because for the same real-world event that is going on for the party, there are two different contexts that I have in my mind. One is this personal context that I have with the people that are at the party, and the other one is the bubble that I had shared with the caterer. So both of these contexts are alive concurrently. So if you look closer into this idea of a bubble, what is really happening is that a bubble is the minimum unit of sharing. So when you use untrusted applications, an untrusted application, given whatever data that it has access to, can mix and match the content arbitrarily. Like, this is the classic problem of tracking information flows, all information flows, implicit, explicit, and all these things, throughout an application, which gets a really hairy problem. So instead, what we do is we just create this bubble and let the applications do whatever it wants to the data inside. But then we just ensure that this blob of data is the minimum, is shared at once, so that even if you share one file from a bubble, it's as if you shared any arbitrary data item from that bubble. Which is why it's very important to get the granularity of the bubble boundaries correct. So the key challenges that we would want to solve in order to make this kind of system real is that these bubbles will be really lightweight even. So there are going to be a lot of them at any given time. So we have to build some UI solutions that make it very easy for a person to interact with all the bubbles that are concurrently active and move between them. We also have to come up with an API for applications, because applications are used to owning the data and then doing whatever they want with it. So we want to develop an API so that developers who are not security experts, they don't have to partition their programs using security labels. They just take the program and, given this functionality-based API, just partition it and it runs. And then third, we have to implement the system to support these really lightweight contexts efficiently. And as we'll see, there's one very nice side effect of this, is that the users don't have to worry about most of the dangerous permissions in Android. They can just, the system can infer most of them. So going to the UI solution really quick. So when we were at the party, for example, when you were in the birthday party bubble, there should be a really easy way for the user to transition back into the catering bubble, because that is another concurrent context that was alive. So there has to be a timeline of bubbles that are presented to the user in a way that it can, that the user can easily move between. Another way that the user can think about data is based on places. So if I'm close to Berkeley and I say, okay, what are the bubbles around Berkeley? So I can see a whole lot of things that I could have potentially, I could be doing right now. Of which, if I chain these two searches together, like what are the recent bubbles for? What should I be doing right now in this Berkeley? I can tune out the ones that are not relevant. So in this way, the system can direct the user to contexts that are most relevant. For the application designer, the key change in mindset is that the role of the application has shifted into two parts. In one part, the application thinks of all the functionality that is tied to the user's data. So the user will create bubbles, and the application will execute inside a bubble. So he has to partition the app. All the functionality that is tied to, that acts on the user's data, is basically going to run inside the bubble. The developer, and used by the user. The developer can be provided with another bubble where all the information that is tied to the program, but not tied to the end user, can be provided for things, for example, things like software updates. So there's a one-way flow of information from that developer bubble into the user's bubbles and back to, and to the user. The user's data does not go back to the developer. And then there are actually some more involved things regarding viewing and regarding how you can do cloud-based optimizations like deduplication and so on that we're not going to detail here, but we can talk about in the questions. But the key change in mindset is that the developer is now performing two roles. One is providing functionality to the users, and the other is just compute optimizations that are separate from the functionality. And then the user can also provide some information that the user is okay giving up, which can be used to serve ads and things. So now the one question that we're trying to look at is, given all the apps that are around right now, how many of these apps would fit into this kind of bubble-centric world? And what we did is we looked at the top 750 applications on the Android market, and classified 350 free and 350 paid as of August 2011. And tried to just went through them manually, trying to understand what is it that the user wants from these applications. Like, what does privacy mean to the user? So we found that there are actually a lot of applications where the user's real identity, user's information, does not even enter the picture. Things like trivial mobile games, flashlights, wallpapers, just browsing news, recipes, and things like that. There are a ton of apps like this, about 45% in each category, where the user has no business putting in any of his personal data. Then so this we just term as anonymous apps. They run in a bubble where the user is shown via the system UI that, okay, you are in an anonymous bubble, don't just go ahead and put your SSN and name in there. In another bubble, the second category are what we call user-initiated sharing, where essentially this includes all kinds of document processing applications, from text, images, or what have you, where the user creates data, and for any given blob of data, the user can point and say who they want to share this particular blob with. So this is what we term as user-initiated sharing, which fits very well with the access control of context or the bubble model. And then there are applications that take users' data and then compute and generate statistics that, by definition, mix the content of all the users. And the users have to give up their data if they want to get the functionality. For example, things like recommendation systems, where you want to get input that person who likes books A and B also liked C. So everyone pulls in their data, and then you get output back. So how much information is there in the output, given everybody's input? You need different models for defining privacy, such as differential privacy, or k-anonymity, and so on. So those need to be integrated into the system. And from the system's point of view, and the users, one very nice side effect is that we went through about the 56 dangerous permissions, and we've noticed that the user, we can break it down to a point where the user only really needs to decide permissions that they understand intuitively, which means controlling things that have meaning without a computer. For example, whether they want to give access to video or to location or microphone. So only 7 of these permissions really need to be decided at runtime by the users, whereas all the rest can either be virtualized, such as internal file system or external file system, are instantiated on a per-bubble basis, application caches, histories, all of these can be maintained on a per-bubble basis. And then there are permissions that basically have to do with communication. And you have to implement firewalling rules such that you ensure that communication only ends up with contacts that are part of the bubble's ACL. So this is a really nice side effect for end users. So to just wrap up and get the questions rolling, I would like to reiterate that what we have done is allowed users to work with this high-level abstraction of a context. And a bubble is the digital counterpart of this real-world context. And from the system's point of view, this acts as the minimum unit of sharing because all the data clusters according to real-world contexts. And then there are very interesting questions about whether the UI is intuitive, because every person that I have gone through and sat through this process, it takes a little bit of explaining because users are very used to the app-centric model. So it takes a little bit of thinking or training maybe to get into the context-centric model. But once they do, I have found a very good response, but this needs to be done rigorously and so on. And then to work out all the details of the API and see whether all the useful functionality can be supported by this API. So with that, I'd like to take questions. Thank you.